The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody said, Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Great passage of Scripture that I hope encourages and inspires you in your service to Him. In one of the, I can't remember now which airport it is, but one of the airports on the East Coast, in their mall area, they have one of those talking scales. And I would, I guess now that I look back on it, I mean, who gets on a talking scale? But I did. And you know what it said? One at a time, please. And then it had this real crazy, electronically enhanced laugh. Like that. And then it said, just kidding. Then it gave me my weight, which was, never mind. Maybe you have one of those things a scale anyway. You probably have one of those things in your bathroom or some place where no one else can see it. Am I just talking to myself here? How many of you step on it more than once? And you get on it and say, that can't be right. I got to try that again. It's amazing how that thing sometimes can... But we do that as a means of reminding ourselves where we are. In fact, I think it's an excellent practice to do it every day. I think if you do that, you can at least keep up with where you are and maybe what you need to do about it and all of that kind of thing. And no, this is not a message about weight loss. It's not that particular thing, but it is a lesson about remembering by way of remembrance. In fact, in our passage, we'll read that in just a moment. It will talk about the importance of being reminded. And proper weight, let me just say, proper weight and exercise are good things. There's no doubt about that. But I think you probably noticed that the world tries to keep us focused on the things that don't profit us spiritually. Okay? I think we ought to be profited physically and take care of ourselves, but the world will always try to keep us from focusing on what really is important. When the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 8, he says, the Holy Spirit says through Paul, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." There's a great lesson right there. This is not the sermon today, but you just think about that promise of what is today. When we focus on spiritual things, we're promised to have a better life. It's the hope and promise of here, as well as it is the idea or the concept of the promise of a future that is in Christ Jesus. In our passage, 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, This is now, beloved, the second letter that I'm writing to you in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and the Savior spoken by the apostles. And there's no doubt in my mind that reminders are very, very useful. In fact, they can enforce a lot of things. They can help keep us on the right track. In the book of Timothy, when Paul again is writing to him, he says over there to Timothy that if, meaning Timothy, if you put the brethren in reminder of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. Now that word really is a servant, but I'm going to apply it to the preacher, because Timothy was, of course, a young protege of the Apostle Paul, who went about his job in terms of preaching the word. And I wanted to take a minute or two today just to help some of the brethren. Tommy, I want to remind you about the council meeting. Okay? All right? Just a little note for you. And Sandra, just thinking about you here. Don't forget the garden club, honey. Okay. Remember what the Bible says. I'm supposed to help remind you and help you remember these kinds of things. I've got more than just that. There's a couple of others I want to give out. I got one for Bobby Davis here. Bobby, I want you to remember to get plenty of cat food and don't forget to dump the litter box, okay? More to come on that in just a minute on the litter box, huh? Yeah. I got him. Darla, I was thinking about you earlier, and I don't want you to forget, honey, tomorrow is school for you, okay? Okay, it's not just the kids, okay? All right, because you do have a job. And I had one for my good buddy Bobby Ferguson. They're probably not feeling well enough to be here, but I think these two right here might run into him. If you see Bobby, give him that one. That was a reminder for him to take Patsy home with him, okay? Because sometimes he forgets, and he'll leave her out here in the foyer. And I was going to remind Patsy, if you'll give her that little reminder, to be careful about the chicken hawk. You probably know that story. If you don't know it, why, ask Bobby. He'll be happy to tell you the story about the chicken hawk. And Rosemary, I wouldn't want to forget you. I want to remind you to bake a lot of cookies for me, okay? And Lynn, I thought about you earlier, honey. I know you're really tired and you had a rough a few days and all, but you might, I don't want you to forget to sell some mattresses this week. And you might even want to stretch out on one, okay? You have my permission. Take a nap, okay? David, I'm reminding you to fix that AC for Peyton, will you? Come on, okay? That's just to keep you going. Tom Jones, you got to have a reminder. I know how you love to be busy with doing things, and I know how many of you have seen all the things that Tom's turns out. And be sure to make some sawdust this week, okay? Okay. Bob Brown, where are you? Hey, yours is real simple. Baptize. Okay? And, you know, Roy, I had one for you, and I should have given it to you while I was here. Take Peggy to lunch, okay? Mitch, where'd you go, Mitch? And this is not just from the preacher, okay? This little reminder for Mitch and Sandy is, y'all please come back and see us, okay? But that's what my job is, isn't it? Let me get an amen. I'm here to try to remind you. And I'm just a human being. I forget also. In fact, I often say, and you've heard me say it, that my forgetter works, well, better than I want it to. It's easy to forget. But let me ask you this question. What do we do if somebody doesn't remind us? If someone doesn't remind me about what needs to be done. You know, sometimes somebody has to say something, maybe even in a negative form to the preacher about something he should have said or something he did say or whatever. And it maybe will trigger in my own mind the things that I should be busy doing. Things I should be saying. Things I should be preaching about or talking about. Over and over again, the Apostle Paul uses this idea of remembrance. Some 10 different times in the New Testament alone, and you can find many more of them in the Old Testament. And they don't necessarily have to use that word remember. I mean, the idea is that was what the purpose of them reading the law from year to year, to know about it. Remember. In the King James, it says that they are to be reminded about those who were scoffers. Those who were walking after their own lusts. Now that's not a word we probably use a lot today, the old word of scoffer, but in the original language, it really points toward more of the idea of a false teacher, someone teaching what isn't so. And then he goes ahead and then brings up the mocking idea, like a mockingbird. What do mockingbirds do? They mock other sounds. That's why they will sound like another bird sometimes, and it's hard to sometimes pick them out. But they were mocking the people, saying, "Oh yeah, by the way, where is this Jesus guy? Hey, where's that guy that you said resurrected was? What, he's coming back? Wasn't that what you were preaching? Hey, brethren, I want you to know he is coming back. Jesus is coming back. I don't want you to forget that." And maybe it's a very simple kind of thing. And I know you've heard me say this before, but one of my great college professors, Dr. Pack, he started every one of his classes by saying, "The Bible, I believe it because I want to." As a student, I thought, what in the world is it? Why does he say that every time? I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. The older I got, the more I realized what he was trying to say to me. Sometimes what the Bible says may not be what you want to believe. But he had made a determination in his life that the Bible was going to be the book that brought him back and reminded him about what God wanted him to do. Just like we read here, that it tells us about our promise of the future, but it also ensures us of the life we live right now. That it gives us hope and encouragement. And if the preacher doesn't remind, or worse yet, maybe it's even more of a tragedy when preachers don't even know or are not aware of what these things are. Anything that really matters centers around, I think, just some basic things. And I want to spend just a few minutes this morning as we begin a new school year. And it's football season! For those of you that are like me, a football fan. And you just... All of these things are new and all of the things are unknown, and you're just kind of waiting on all this stuff to happen. And what are we going to have happening at school, and what great things are going to take place, and all of the promises that are right in front of us. There are basic things I think we must accept. We must believe that there is a God. We're talking about God and Satan in our Bible class. And if you weren't in Bible class this morning, you need to get in one. Because there's some great things being taught. Brother Tom teaches a marvelous class in here that could rank on any campus in our colleges today. Come and be in a class and learn. Get in maybe Doug's class where there's a lot of discussion that goes on, as in Bobby's as well. But get in a class and expand your mind and remind yourself of the basic things that have to happen. that we have to accept that there's a God and that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is the Son of God. There is nothing out here in the world that will ever change that. The church is the body of Christ. It is God's family, as Bobby mentioned to us today, and as we are sending them away with a reminder of us, so that when you see that, you'll remember your time. It's not that we think you'll totally forget us, Bradshaws, but just a reminder. So when you look up at that, you'll think about your time here. But that's what's great about it, isn't it? How many of you have things on your shelf that you've been keeping that you are not using, but you're not getting rid of it? Why? Because it reminds you of something very special. It might not mean anything to anybody else. It may even seem like, what is that thing doing there? But it's something that reminds you of the goodness or the happiness in your family. God's family is unique. It's different. It is special. And I'm here to say to you this morning that it is better than anything man or Satan tries to offer you. You will never find anything that surpasses the love, the kindness, the godliness, the goodness of God's family, His church, His people. They're the ones that respond to you. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Well, hey, you say, preacher, everybody believes in God, don't they? Well, at least some kind of deity. Whether they call it Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, Buddha, etc., most people will say, I know God, or I know of a God, right? I mean, that's pretty basic in the world. Now, there are some who deny, but not everybody that stands in a pulpit or in front of a group will state that the Bible is the infallible, accurate, ever reliable Word of God, and that's what it is. Well, they might say, hey, you know, men translated that thing. Well, that's the way they see it. You and I believe that God translated it through the Holy Spirit and used some men to write it down. Can I get an amen? Because it is the accurate, infallible Word of God. Does that mean that I always understand it or that there's never something that confuses me because it doesn't seem to make some sort of logical sense with what I read over here? No. Just study, and you'll find that it will be right, and that it will envelop your soul and develop you into life. Not everybody believes that Jesus is the incarnate Son of God, spoken of in the prophets, or born of a virgin. That'll get them really spinning, you know that, if you bring that up. Raised as a man in human flesh, empowered by Holy Spirit, led to a Roman cross, wrongly accused of sinless action. On every account, he was crucified. He died a cruel death. He was laid in a borrowed tomb, raised on the third day, triumphant over all principalities, Colossians 1, verse 16, powers, Satan, death, and he is coming again to collect the saints that they may ever be in heaven with the Heavenly Father. That's what it says. I believe it because I want to believe it. I choose to believe it. In an article in the magazine Christianity Today, a survey was conducted and concluded in a poll of different preachers and teachers and leaders across the broad spectrum of Christianity. And when it was concluded, they determined that over 50% do not believe in the inspiration of the Scripture. They do not believe in the inspiration of the Scripture. I'm telling you that half of the people that are standing up today, if they do it on the first day of the week basis, it may be another day because of whatever it is they believe in, but over half of them don't believe in the inspired Word of God, that it is God's inspired Word. What a shame. How do you know if you're listening to that kind of person? Well, you need a preacher that reminds you that he believes those things, that he teaches those things. I don't know everything in the Bible. No one really can, except God Himself, of course. I know that there are some who are steeped in Scripture, and that is wonderful. But if you feel like that somehow or another that makes you on a different or a lower level, you're wrong. Just knowing about the Scripture makes you elevated over anyone else who does not know Scripture. Amen? It is the most powerful thing in our life. Stirring up. Isn't that Sandra, you do a lot of cooking. What are you doing with that spoon when you're stirring up? Now, we take that sometimes in a negative sense. Well, in fact, I think it was said in our class today, I'm not stirring anything up. Meaning I'm not trying to cause a problem. But we didn't think that was the case anyway, because we all love everybody in there. Sometimes we just have questions that we haven't been able to answer. Trust me, you're going to have those. We work at doing our best to solve them. I'm saying this morning in this drawn-out fashion as I am to get your attention. That's what he said here. He wanted to get their attentions. He wanted to steer their pure minds up, so that you can zero in on what is profitable spiritually, what we believe and why we believe it. Godly exercise profits little. I'm not preaching, don't exercise. It just simply says that godliness is profitable to all things. Get a hold of some godliness. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Keep me from secret sin. Reign Thou my soul within, purer in heart, help me to be. Sometimes it's just better to do it in a song, and it just sort of says it out to you. Help me to be what you want me to be, to stir up my mind, to help me be sincere by way of reminding me. The Apostle John says, let not your heart be troubled. Really, this is John recording what Jesus says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Y'all believe that, don't you? John 14:1-3. And many other signs, truly, John later on will write, did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. John 20:30-31. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. you will die in your sins. That's what the Bible says in John 8 and verse 24. You see, it takes faith for that to take place. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek them. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Later, as John was recording this, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me will never die. And then he said, do you believe that? Believest thou this? He asked. I fear that many of us sometimes have raised our children unfamiliar with the Word of God because our focus has not been there. And we become unfamiliar with it, even unfamiliar with the Word ourselves. And the world keeps us. Trust me, Satan wants to keep us from profiting on the things that are found in the Scripture. You know Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I don't want to debate that passage today, but I want to just say to you, it's better for them to hear and learn the Word of God from you. I mean, this is not the factory to drop them off and have something imprinted in their brain, they'll come home with it. They need to be trained at the house. Proverbs 23 and 7 states that, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What does your mind think of? We sometimes focus more on the idea of careers or retirement or education or social status and material possessions are all of these things that Satan uses to drag us away from the idea of honesty and integrity. Does our world need a little honesty and integrity? Does our world need some humility, some kindness, some gentleness, some service, some virtue, some honor, some loyalty, some reverence to God? Back in the mid-80s, I made a trip to Tuticorin, India. And it was a pretty rough little village. The mission team that I was with, we came upon a village, and I don't even remember its name. But no other missionaries had ever showed up there, according to them, and had ever visited them. And upon investigation while we were there, we found that they had believed in a greater being, God, but they had never seen a Bible. Now that was a new challenge to me. And I thought, this truly is the land of the heathen. I was very naive back in those days. By the way, the outcome of that was there was a church established there and many people responded, and there's still one there yet today. Yet in America, on our well-groomed campuses, our very own children are taught that the Bible is not accurate, nor is it relevant, and certainly not inspired. Well, I don't delve into Confucianism at all, to be honest with you, but there is one quote from it that I do like. It says, the weakest link is longer lasting than the greatest memory. You think about it. We have to remember to teach so that we can remember. You remember the story about the husband and the wife, they're arguing about the list to go to the store, and anyway, she finally sends him off to get some ice cream and syrup and chocolate syrup. And she says, write it down or you'll forget. And he says, oh, no, I won't. I'm not going to forget ice cream and syrup. He came home just a little bit later with a dozen eggs. She looked at him and said, "I told you you would forget. Where's the bacon?" The truth is we just forget things. We forget. Unless we focus on this idea, this concept of truth. Great line from the Rudyard Kipling poem of the Captains and Kings part is, "O Lord of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget." He understood that we forget. "My brethren, when I came to you, I came not with the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And while that may seem to be an oversimplification, that's the message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There is nothing that can be any more important. Truth is what everyone needs to be reminded of. So, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to stay close to God. Do you realize that that's a choice? I don't know whether that was Ray or David this morning that quoted up here, but somebody from here said, draw near to God, and what will He do? Draw near to you. And Bobby, just a few verses before that, the one we were talking about in class, and that was, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." I think that's James chapter 4 and verse 6. Stay close to His Word. It's your choice. Stay close in prayer. It's your choice. Pray with a pure heart. Ask God, like the psalmist in 51 and 10, "Create in me a pure or clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in my soul." Pray with a humble heart. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. We even sing that passage of Scripture, James 4 and verse 10. Pray in confidence. Right back here on our banner in the back, 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. 1 John 5:14. Do it joyfully and do it with a believing heart. Stay close to God's people. Look for others on their journey with Christ. And remember that you are a part of God's plan, and that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. I want to encourage you with that reminder. I want to encourage you to know that if you're here today and need to be restored to the Lord's body by coming and letting us know and having us pray with you and encourage you to serve Him, or if you're one of those who have yet to be baptized into Christ, washed, your sins washed away, and raised to walk in the newness of life, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing. Won't you come?